Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. This is Dr. John Stamey welcoming you to Pro Wrestling Interviews. We got a great show as usual tonight and glad everyone's here with us. First of all, from our outermost reaches, Indianapolis, Indiana, it is Todd Saxon. How are you doing tonight, Todd?
I'm doing outstanding, the supernatural, ecstatic to be here. Happy Sunday, team.
You're a pretty supernatural guy, I know that. So we're glad to have you here. All right, and from Richmond, Virginia, or thereabouts, how you doing tonight, Tony?
I am doing great. Like, so many things went down this past week in the world of wrestling, and I am excited to get into it tonight.
So that's great. We're glad to have you here. And Stellar Steven, the professor of wrestling, how are you doing tonight, Steven, from Richmond, Virginia?
Well, I got the whole world in my hand. Tony, we'll talk
you
about that soon enough.
The whole world. Okay, I won't start singing. Okay, we're glad to have you here. Steven, I'm going to turn this show over to you.
Well, we'll start off with Extreme Rules. Took place last night. I caught up on it earlier, and Tony and I were talking about that. First match in the card was the Brawling Brutes six-man tag Donnybrook match, basically street fight with a bar theme. Sheamus, Ridge Holland, and Butch got the win over Imperium. Sheamus got the win, I believe, and not too surprised, but it was definitely good to see Sheamus and Gunther face off again. Hopefully it leads to a singles match or a rematch at some point. Second match in the card was for the SmackDown Women's title. This Extreme Rules match is Ronda Rousey and Liv Morgan. Liv Morgan was defending the title, but Ronda Rousey was able to get the win on Liv by a technical submission. She had a submission on Liv, and I believe she was wedging Liv's head in between the table piece. Liv looked like she was smiling during it, but she was defeated by ref stoppage. Not surprised Ronda get the win here. I think Liv can get another shot later, but Ronda is just dominant. Should be on top.
So Ronda is now the champion?
Yeah, she's regained the championship. She lost the belt to Liv before, I believe. Third match on the card is Karrion Kross versus Drew McIntyre in a strap match. And Kross got the pinfall. It was not the four-corner roll. I believe it was just basically a strap match with pinfalls and submissions. So Kross got the win, but his I believe wife Scarlett got involved, his valet. She pepper sprayed Drew McIntyre in the face to lead to Kross getting the win. So it was legal. And it was very interesting. I've seen spray used before in a match finish, but not in a while. Especially was not expected during a strap match. So that was interesting. I think Kross winning was good. I think Kross needed the win more. Fourth match in the card was a ladder match for the Raw Women's Championship, and it was Bianca Belair retaining it against Bayley. I was kind of hoping Bayley to win this. I saw that she even paid tribute to Sara Lee with having Sarah's name on her wrist tape. I'll definitely get Tony's thoughts on that soon. And
All right, well, that's great. All right.
Sorry. John, you were saying something?
Yeah, I was just saying, are you going to continue, or are we ready to hear what Tony's got to say?
No, I was continuing. I was talking about the Finn Balor versus Edge I Quit match just now. It was an interesting finish with Balor getting the win over Edge because Finn Balor's group Judgment Day were able to gang up on Edge, and Beth Phoenix, Edge's wife, got involved. She was kind of fighting off Rhea Ripley, and then they got the upper hand, and Beth was, or Rhea was threatening to hit Beth with the chair, and so Edge basically lost the match, saying I quit to save his wife, but Rhea ended up hitting Beth Phoenix with the chair anyways, while Beth was down, and so lots of concern from Edge after Beth was headshotted with the chair. This will definitely probably lead into a Beth Phoenix return to wrestling and possibly a match against Rhea Ripley. That should be interesting. And then the main event was the fight pit match with Matt Riddle and Seth Rollins, and this was kind of like a MMA type, kind of like a Lion's Den style match, and it's basically submission and pins in the ring, but there was a second, there was a cage match, but there was like a second part of the cage where they were kind of fighting on, and that was neat. But any falls or submissions up there didn't count, which was interesting. And the special guest referee was Daniel Cormier, who's a former UFC champion, a UFC Hall of Famer, a beast in the amateur wrestling DC. So, and he's been a fan of wrestling for a while, WWE wrestling, so it made sense. I was kind of hoping Ken Shamrock would get this role, but it was a good opportunity for Daniel Cormier, and Matt Riddle got the win by submission. I believe it was a triangle, and I thought this was one of my favorite matches on the card. At one point, Matt Riddle even did a fence-down off the top of the cage onto Rollins, and that looked brutal on both of them. Can only imagine how bad Riddle must have felt if his tailbone made contact with the ring there. But Riddle was able to persevere and get the win with the submission. So I think this is good for Riddle. And Dana Cormier and Riddle made it to the stage area, and they were doing the, they're kind of like raising each other's, he was raising Riddle's hand, and that's when the lights went out, and that's when we got the dramatic return of the long-anticipated return of Bray Wyatt, and it was a pretty great moment, pretty great return, and when the lights went out, you kind of saw the fans with their phones out, playing the role of Fireflies, and followers of Bray, and there was some members of the audience that were, I guess, followers of Bray. They were kind of dressed up as the puppets from Bray Wyatt's Funhouse, Firefly Funhouse puppets, and they kind of really built up his return in this segment. There was a door on the stage area, and Bray came out through it. There was a light shining through the door, and very spooky, and Bray came out holding this lantern, with and he had a new mask on too. It wasn't the same Fiend mask, so he picks up the mask and crowd's eating it up. They're just really excited to see him back, and there was holy shit chants. Bray kind of blows the lantern out to the arena darkens, and then it cuts to a graphic of an upside down moth, I believe, and that's how the show ended, I believe. So, very great return for Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt's one of my favorite WWE wrestlers in recent years. I think he's been mishandled a lot in WWE, but I think with new management in charge, I'm hoping that they give him another shot. It was rumored that Bray was getting offers from Freddie Prinze Jr. because Freddie Prinze Jr. is sitting a promotion, I believe, on the West Coast at some point soon. But WWE, they kind of snatched up Bray Wyatt just recently. And I think a lot of people knew that this was his return, especially with all the teases they were building for weeks, a bunch of cryptic teases of White Rabbit, Jefferson Airplane, and a lot of, you know, vignettes and just Easter eggs. So it was finally confirmed with Bray Wyatt. So with all that said, I do want to get Tony's thoughts on this card in general and Bray Wyatt's return at the end.
Yeah, I mean, this was a really good show, like very average. Like the six-man tag match, like I knew that it was going to be some type like a bar brawl fight type of match.
Yeah, Tony Bro.
And I was really glad to see that they get to like fight in their kind of style, because being like from the UK, I see a lot of like British strong style from these guys, and you know it was a really fun match to watch. You know me, I'm a big Liv Morgan fan, so it was sad for me to see her lose to Ronda. But you know, Ronda, you know, it deserves it. Like I'm happy for her. Karrion, like I knew Karrion needed that one win since he came back from WWE, so it was appropriate for to give him the win. Bianca and Bayley, they had a really good match as well. Like, but nobody interfered in the match, which was good. Like, it was just them two, and they got to fight it out. I was shocked that Finn won this match, but like knowing like Judgment Day, like they wanted to like set mind games to Edge to try to make him say I quit, and which they did. So after this match, I definitely know that it's going to lead to Beth coming back, maybe like a six-person mixed tag match or an eight-person tag, like to get maybe add like AJ Styles into the mix. In the fight pit, like it, you know, when I watched the fight pit, like it reminded me of a UFC fight, and I knew that Matt Riddle was going to win this match. And man, like I was just really, really excited about Bray Wyatt coming back, because you know there were a lot of talking about like, oh, like when Bray comes back to WWE or when he goes to AEW. But I'm glad that WWE picked him back up, and we got to. And like what they was doing was that they showed like every like character from the Firefly Funhouse, and yeah, like when you mentioned Sara Lee, yeah, rest in peace to Sara Lee, because you know I remember watching Sara Lee when Tough Enough, and we didn't really get to see Sara Lee a whole lot on TV, but I know that she was an amazing competitor. And you know, we just have the family and friends up in our prayers, and especially to Wesley Blake, her husband, and also to her kids, too. Because I know she was only 3 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was very unfortunate to hear her passing, and she seemed very well liked by a lot of people that she worked with briefly. And yeah, I think she was one of my favorites on that Tough Enough season, and it would have been great if she'd worked there a little bit longer, but just very unfortunate news, and glad to see that she was well-liked by her peers. Also, just a minor detail, I noticed that Rhonda, when she came out, she was wearing her pink judo gi. It was Michael Cole mentioned on commentary that was a tribute to Jean LaBelle, Judo Jean LaBelle, so that was a pretty cool touch. And also, Rhonda's gear had some references to They Live, which is pretty cool. It's also a pun, too, because Liv Morgan's her opponent, but she had, like, submit on the Rhonda's gear. That was just something that commentary brought up, because they mentioned Layla, but Liv Morgan's gear was pretty great, too, but yeah, I like that gi jacket that Rhonda was wearing. That was a cool touch. I didn't even know that was a Jean LaBelle tribute. When Bray made the return, when the lights were out, they were playing the whole world's in his hands, and they played the vignette of them saying, "Who killed the world? You did." And it was like a reference to the cryptic message that was playing on TV. Even earlier in the show, in the opening match, they were teasing that Bray Wyatt returning with the White Rabbit clip that was played during the show, which was interesting because when it happened, commentary didn't even mention it, and they just, like, were still commentating over the entrance of the Brawling Brutes, I believe, and just a minor detail that I thought was interesting, all the hacking that was going on with the broadcast. Some analog horror there for Dr. John. But, I think the highlight of the show would definitely be Bray Wyatt's return. And Liv and Ronda had a pretty brutal match. That bat got involved a lot. I liked when Ronda used her black belt on Liv to beat on Liv outside on the floor in the corner. That was pretty neat. Because you can use the belt during judo or jiu-jitsu, at least jiu-jitsu, I believe, but, like, it was neat seeing that involved in a wrestling match, and so you got to see two straps one show used. But I'd say overall I enjoyed the show, but definitely the Bray Wyatt return at the end. I do want to get to some local wrestling update from Tony, because you went to see Classic Pro Wrestling. Where was that? Wasn't that at a fair, and it was last night as well?
Yes. So Classic Pro Wrestling was at the Meadow Farm Nursery up in Fredericksburg, Virginia, and they had the place had an event, because you know October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and they had an event called Fighting for Breast Cancer. So it's to raise awareness and to help people fight against this disease. And before I talk about the show, for anyone who's going through breast cancer, or someone who went through breast cancer, or someone who knows that who has breast cancer, I just want to say, you know, we're thinking about all of you, and you guys can beat this. So, So the first match, our good friend Ethan Cross, and he had this character of Mansfield Tiger. His opponent, I don't remember his name, but. But Ethan got the win in that match. And the second match, which was the main event, it was Sledge Gibson versus Bo Crockett for Next Up Heavyweight Champion, ESPW Heavyweight Champion. That was also a good match too. Bo ended up retaining. So it was only two matches. It was actually, really, good show. They were there to for a cause, and that's what's really, really important for any company when it comes to wrestling. And, because we see WWE, they're always doing something for, with Pediatric Cancer Awareness Month or Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Mm-hmm. awareness that we have, all wrestling promotions do everything they can to also help mm-hmm. fight these diseases. So, I was, really glad I got to go. And, And also, last Friday was also Impact Wrestling show Battle for Glory. So mm-hmm. we can actually talk about that real quick. So pre-show, they had Dirty Dango versus Brian Myers for the Impact Digital Media Championship. Brian Myers got the win over that. Then we went on to the main card. First match was for the Impact X Division Championship, Frank Kazarian versus Mike Bailey. Really amazing match. A lot of high flying. These guys are amazing in the ring. And Frankie got the win and becoming the new champion. The next match was a career threatening match. Mickie James versus Mia Yim. And of course, if Mickie James picked up the win, but if Mickie James did lose, she was going to retire. So she's going through this career threatening matches, just like what Ric Flair did.
Mm-hmm.
The next match was the tag team match for the Knockouts World Tag Team Champions, the Death Dolls versus VXT. The Death Dolls picked up the win as the new champions. The next match was for the Impact World Tag Team Champions, the Kingdom versus the Motor City Machine Guns. Also a really good match. I thought the Motor City Machine Guns was going to win here because, I really love the Motor City Machine Guns, but the Kingdom ended up retaining. Then they had a 20-person Intergender Call Your Shot Gauntlet match, and the winner will receive a trophy for a future title shot at any time. And
within a year, yeah.
And the winner was the return of Bully Ray. So big congratulations to Bully Ray and for the win and his return. The next match was for the Knockouts World Championship. They had Masha Slint Samove, I think her name is, versus Jordan Grace.
Slamovich.
Yeah. And Jordan Grace picked up the win here. Really good match. Then the last match was Eddie Edwards versus Josh Alexander for the Impact World Championship. Also a really good match, and Josh Alexander picked up the win, retaining. I definitely want to give your thoughts on that. But before I do that, I know Dr. John wants to do his sponsor. So plug. I want to take it over to you, John.
John? All right.
Yeah, now's when you unmute the microphone and you reference our sponsors, Banana Jack and all those folks.
Well, I have not seen Bound for Glory yet, but Josh Alexander and Edwards does sound like a good match on paper. And Tony, what are your thoughts on this match specifically? It was 28 minutes, that's just under a half hour. Eddie Edwards, definitely familiar with the Japanese wrestling style and trained with the Pro Wrestling Noah, so I might have to go back and watch that one specifically. What are your thoughts on that main event?
Actually, it was a really good match. I mean, both of these guys are amazing wrestlers, and you know, it was a really close match because you know, Eddie Edwards, you know, I've seen his work over the years, and Josh Alexander, he's having an amazing run as the world champion, and like overall, like I'd definitely get a 5 out of 5 for this match, but overall, like this whole card,
the whole card was good.
Yeah, the whole card was very, very good.
Was Bound for Glory better than Extreme Rules for you?
Well, I think Bound for Glory was kind of better than Extreme Rules because, you know, Bound for Glory is like one of the top pay-per-views for Impact. So, yeah, I would probably say I did like Bound for Glory more than Extreme Rules.
Neat, because Impact doesn't get enough attention, so it's interesting when they kind of go back-to-back with WWE on the same weekend.
And, of course, you know, like Bound for Glory was on a Friday and Extreme Rules was on a Saturday, So it was a good thing that everybody got to watch both and not just, like,
right.
both of them at
not
the same time. Right.
I got to ask, I haven't been watching Impact lately, but I do like Jessica Havoc. How is she with Taya Valkyrie as the Death Dolls as a tag team?
Overall, it's a good team. Like, Jessica, Tyra, and Rosemary work very, very well together. And so when you think of, Tyra, because, Tyra has, wrestled, almost all around the world. And so does...
Especially Mexico, yeah.
Yeah, especially Mexico. And, of course, Rosemary, Rosemary is one of my favorite Impact. And, having, she's also one of the most dominant wrestlers in Impact Wrestling. But when I see her, when I first saw her, she definitely reminds me of the new, new Awesome Kong. Because the thing about her and Awesome Kong is they're both heavy hitters. They're real powerful female wrestlers in knockout position.
They're women heavyweight, yeah.
And that's what I love about the knockout division because the knockout division has one of the most hard-hitting, dominant women in this company.
Oh, for sure. Speaking of knockouts, how did Mickie James do? I know she won Mia Yim, but what did you think of her match in general? It went 11 minutes. Mickie James, obviously one of the most famous wrestlers in Virginia, and she's billed from Richmond. What are your thoughts on that match, and what do you think's next for Mickie James?
Yeah, Mickie James did a very good job. I always love Mickie James. She is representing Richmond, Virginia. And one thing about Mickie is that she never backs down for a fight. And when she asked Mia Yim to face her in her next match, Mia Yim immediately said yeah, because Mia Yim has worked with Mickie James up in Maryland before when Mia was coming around, and to watch you know, watching them both in the ring, like, definitely reminded me of their match up in Maryland and where they worked together. So, you know, for the future for Mickie James, like, I would love to see her win the Impact World Champion for the very last time before she retires, because I think it will be good for her to, like, say, like, hey, like, you know, I got to win the title for the last time, or, and then when it's time for her to give up the title and lose her match to somebody, she can say, hey, like, this wrestler retired me. And it would be, like, something for her to talk about when she does go into the Hall of Fame one day in the future. To those people, she can really thank for giving her that opportunity, like, giving her that last spot, like, giving her that, like, push.
Good experience with Mickie James. She had a – her and Nick Aldis had a show with Jake Roberts at a bar, and it was so fun. Like, Mickie was singing. She, like, had us – she had a group of crowd group of the audience come up to the stage and do Macho Man Randy Savage impressions, and Jake Roberts popped for this friend I had. She did the Bone Saws Ready line from Spider-Man, and that popped Jake. And, she ended up getting tickets to the GXW show the next day, so that was cool. Mickie's definitely entertaining and pleasure to be around. You mentioned Hall of Fame. I have to mention this. Congrats to Raven for getting that Hall of Fame induction with Impact. I saw some of his speech, and I love that he ended it with this feud with Tommy Dreamer is going to end tonight, and then he gives Tommy a kick and a DDT on the stage, and poses after and says thank you and quote the Raven nevermore. It was such a great moment for those two, still having that feud continue from ECW onwards. I'd say Tommy Dreamer's best rival is Raven, obviously, and it was just cool getting that for one moment. Since you mentioned Hall of Fame, that was on my mind. And then I think Kazarian and Mike Bailey are probably two underrated wrestlers. I think Mike had some visa issues a while back and see that he can work the States and Impact. So I think Mike is very good cruiserweight, high flyer, and Kazarian is one of the most underrated high-flying wrestlers ever. So congrats to Kazarian. And Dirty Dango, I'm glad to see that he's getting more opportunities. I know he's working with NWA, the former Fandango. I got to see one of the seminars locally, and that was a pleasure to get to interact with him, kind of pick his brain. And we even talked about Brody Lee in passing, because Dango has, like, a Brody Lee tattoo on one of his arms, and had to ask him about Brody, Luke Harper. Happy for Dango to get more opportunity, and seems like a good overall good card. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, like, I remember that, and now he does also work for NGW in Tennessee, and when NGW came here, you know, I remember, you know, I got to meet him and stuff, and, you know, I did see the Brody Lee tattoo on his arm, and which I think that was pretty cool. Like, so, you know, for me to, like, see that, like, it really shows, like, how much impact that Brody Lee put on so many wrestlers today, because, like, he because, like, he was, like, I mean, yeah, like, he was, we all knew him as, you know, a part of the Wyatt family in WWE, but Brody Reed was, like, something more than that, because, like, when he, you know, came into AEW, like, he had, like, a more impact in his career. Like, he was the most dominant wrestler, and, like, he was winning championships. And, you know, he was just getting that big push that everybody was waiting to see. And, like, for all the wrestlers to, like, talk about Brody Lee or have something that remembers him, it's just so, so exciting. And, of course, you know, because of his, like, inspiration, you know, now his son, Negative One, is now involved in AEW. And I know, mm-hmm. you know, I know one day in the future we'll get to see Negative One in that ring, just, you know, wrestling just like his father.
And that is one thing I really liked about Liv Morgan was that I know a lot of wrestlers have given Brody Lee Jr. some time, but that was really great to see Liv training with Brody Lee Jr. in that video that you kind of you find online, and with Brody Lee on the brain during the Bray Wyatt return, there was some Easter eggs. That Brody contributes to Brody Lee and involved in that return. I didn't even notice, but one of the masks that Abby the Witch, one of the characters in Firefly Funhouse, she was wearing a Brody Lee mask that he wore during his Bludgeon Brothers days, the skull mask, and that was a cool detail. And also the lighting from the doorway when he comes out. It's obviously a bright blue light, and that seems to be a reference to when Brody Lee made that vignette upon his AEW debut, when he revealed that he was the Exalted One, the Dark Order, and I think that was that has to be one of my favorite debuts in wrestling in general, is Brody Lee's Exalted One reveal, because. Like Bray Wyatt's return, they were teasing the mystery of who's going to be the Exalted One of the Dark Order, the leader of the Dark Order faction, and Brody Lee really turned around that faction in AEW. It was kind of canned, the Dark Order was, but Brody Lee, I think, really turned that group around and even got them over as a fan favorite. And, yeah, that was a lot of cool details involved in that Bray Wyatt return, and also when Bray had his last match, I think it was WrestleMania, or one of his last matches, when he made, I think he had a moment, I don't know if it was during the entrance or during the match, but he did a yeah, 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 which is a reference to Luke Harper, when he would say the yeah during his time in the Wyatt family. Also referenced in Fandango's tattoo as well, the Luke Harper tattoo. It's good to see that Brody Lee's still remembered amongst his peers and friends. Lots going on this weekend with the pay-per-views and local wrestling. We were talking earlier about Next Step Pro Wrestling before the show. I think you said there were some matches announced. Please share with me some of those matches that you see announced for December 10th in Yorktown.
So if you guys don't know, Next Up Pro Wrestling is a new promotion that just started up in Yorktown, Virginia. They are getting ready to do their second show on December 10th. And they just announced a four-man tournament to determine the number one contender for the next heavyweight championship, which will be in 2023 for the next show. But so the four participants in this four-man tournament are Io Neal, Wes Rogers, Dante Bishop, and Ty Austin.
Nice.
We'll also see Victor Walker and Avery Jags and our good friend who we just had on the last show, George Broman Jr. And they just signed a new signing, Zeta Steele, who wrestles for Combat Zone, MCW, and CCW. And one of the matches they also announced is George Broman Jr. versus Ozzy Crabbe. So far, like this show, I know this show is going to be amazing. And Steve, like, as you heard about these matches, like, how excited are you about this show?
A lot of talents I'm not familiar with, but some I am just from local shows. I definitely want to see that George Broman match, and Wes Rogers is pretty underrated, I think, and a good technician. So some good talent on the card. Kind of interested in seeing what Zeta Steele is like. Been to Maryland Championship Wrestling before and seen some of the women there. So interested to see what she's about. And is Bo Crockett have an opponent yet announced, or is that to be determined?
So that, I believe that's going to be a determined. I do know that he is defending. I do know he is defending his title that night. We just don't know, like, who he's facing yet.
Right. Speaking of Bo, I think we just talked about it earlier, but how was the Bo Crockett Fletch Gibson match?
It was very good. Like, I love these guys so much, and, you know, they definitely put on an amazing match. And, of course, my boy Sledge had to be the heel. So, but overall, he did an amazing job.
Oh, that's good to hear.
Yeah. But I did saw the end that they did brought out some those classic cars out there, and I did see Bo Crockett posing with his both of his titles on a car or something.
It's good to see that Bo's defending those titles everywhere, elsewhere, and seeing Sledge in different roles, kind of interesting. How was the fair in general? Like, wasn't there a fair going on during that event?
Well, it wasn't really much of a fair. It was mainly fairgrounds. Like, they was having people picking plants and pumpkins, and of course they had a live band. It was really, really fun. I really had a good time. But for this week, I'm very interested in how things are going to go after Extreme Rules. Of course, tomorrow is the 25th anniversary of D-Generation X, and the Bloodline is going to be on Raw as well. And, of course, they're now getting ready for Crown Jewels, which the only match we know that is happening is Roman Reigns versus Logan Paul. Also, NXT is having Halloween Havoc. That's also coming up. I want to ask Todd this question, actually. So, Todd, D-Generation X is celebrating 25 years. So I want to ask you, what is, like, your most favorite D-Generation X moment?
First off, you found me up by reference in 25 years. You had me immediately doing math in my head. You know that, right?
Oh,
you
God.
Immediately had me doing math in my head, walking backwards. Wait, what? When? I just, man, they were so completely wackadoodle. I think some of the shtick they did when they were doing their imitations of The Rock would make me laugh. You know,
right.
can you smell what the crock is cooking and some of that just sheer silliness that they were doing. You never knew what they were going to do, strictly speaking, attire-wise. Can't remember who it was. Sometime it had a old, like, an army-type helmet going on, and it was just,
They also made history in Virginia, too.
It was important at the time. Say again?
They made history in Virginia. Someone's forbidden door is creaking. But DX had a big moment in Virginia. They remember when DX invaded WCW when they were trying to invade. I'm not sure which building, but yeah, there was like Hampton Coliseum and Norfolk Scope had some events going on, and DX tried to invade WCW at one point. There's been a lot of speculation about what if they had gotten inside the building, and also just what if there was a locker room brawl, because mostly a lot of wrestlers are friends behind the scenes, you know, back then, but they're obviously playing up this TV feud that they had. But JBL mentioned what if Haku had, like, gotten into a fight with Ken Shamrock, like, just dream fights in that scenario. So very interesting moment in wrestling. Took place in Virginia, which is pretty cool with that DX there.
Yeah, it was, man. Yeah, that was, it was a minute ago. I had to stop and figure out where I was and everything when that was going on. But yeah, while just watching that, it was a whole, WWF that was part of their, we're losing everybody and their brother and stuff like that. And it was part of what they did. And, man, the team went into it. They went in hard. They made it happen. And they were wackadoodle. They were so fun. I mean,
for sure.
There was so much silliness with what they did. I don't know how some of that stuff they kept a straight face, and they couldn't always do it. Just saying.
It's some of the best stuff that China was involved in, and because they were all friends in real life, it just made their segments probably more fun for them. Obviously, the Click and NWO, members of the Click, that kind of influenced Bullet Club in New Japan years later. Obviously, more NWO influence, but they do a lot of the Two Sweets. And sometimes the Suckets, but that was all Click references that DX guys, NWO guys were a part of backstage. And I got a chance to meet Kevin Nash and from NWO and Click and Xbox, and then they were friends, for a long time. Xbox was pretty cool. Kevin Nash, pretty cool. Scott Hall, also part of the Click, friends of those DX guys, so pretty neat seeing those DX and NWO, those Click members at these independent shows. But, DX definitely played a big part in the Attitude Era, even when Shawn Michaels wasn't there. He was recovering or taking a hiatus, and they would reunite in the 2000s as well. Kind of made Hornswoggle a even bigger for doing that and feuding with Vince. It's just funny. DX were kind of built as this rebellious group, and now they're in charge of WWE. Shawn Michaels is in charge of NXT. Triple H is kind of in charge of the main roster and NXT. Triple H, you know, was a big part of the rise of NXT as a brand. Now Shawn Michaels is in charge of it. Road Dogg is back there as a producer, also a member of DX. I also got to meet Billy Gunn a couple times, and he was fun to watch locally. And I even asked him about his New Japan match with Tanahashi. So they're still relevant, whether it's independent scene or in the big companies. And Billy Gunn recently had a he's been managing the Acclaim, the current AEW Tag Team Champions over there, and they had a big segment in D.C. And Acclaim are well-liked, very much loved by the AEW audience, and Billy Gunn's a big part of that now. Billy Gunn, I don't think he will be there for WWE, the DX reunion tomorrow, just because you know, the different promotions, but Billy Gunn and Road Dogg were a big part of the success of DX, so glad to see that Billy is still around and relevant. Since we got some time left, Tony, did you have any plugs you'd like to mention? I know we talked about local wrestling, but anything you'd like to mention now, Tony?
Well, I want to mention again, Sarah Lee, she really had a big impact. And, when I was looking at, when I was thinking about Sarah Lee, I was thinking of, like every other participant who participated in Tough Enough and that had very successful wrestling careers. So I definitely know that, people who were in Tough Enough with her or who always wanted to, who watched Tough Enough really was inspired by her. So, but once again, we just thank her for everything that she accomplished and everything in professional wrestling today.
Yeah, it's surprising to me because she was mostly known for the Tough Enough, experience that she had on that show and brief career, but left an impression on a lot of her peers. So, very unfortunate news, but also glad to see she was well received.
And I do. Actually, John, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, there you are. So I also want to ask you, since D-Generation X is celebrating 25 years, what's your favorite D-Generation X moment?
Let me pass on that one for tonight, okay?
John.
Okay.
Do you have a favorite? All right, hold on. Do you have a favorite Triple H memory? Shawn Michaels, X-Pac, Kevin Nash. I mean, not Kevin Nash. Sorry, that's quick.
That is actually when I wasn't watching wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
There was a large gap between when I was wrestling and not. So, yes, sir.
I know you weren't watching then, but Shawn Michaels was part of Ric Flair's retirement match in WWE. You got to mention that. Shawn Michaels was like a big part of forming DX with Triple H. Ric Flair is one of your favorites, so.
I know, but as I said, that was a period of time when I was busy doing other things and really was not watching wrestling, and that's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I will pass on that one for tonight.
Well, there'll be plenty of reminiscing tomorrow night, but for the DX fans. But Tony likes to challenge the panel and anybody who's on, so we're glad to have Tony and have all these news to talk about. Todd, do you have any comments or plugs?
Oh, just the man. I'm going to do a plug. Gotta say, my better half is celebrating the anniversary of her birth tomorrow. So, happy birthday, hon. Take care of yourselves. Take care of your family. Take care of one another.
Yeah. Happy birthday wishes to her, and thanks for being on, Todd. And, yeah, you can find this podcast at ProWrestlingInterviews.com on Facebook. And I'm at Stellar Steven on Twitter. You can find links to the show on from me on there. And, yeah, thanks, Tony. Thanks, Todd and John. John, you have any comments or plugs?
No, I'll just say glad everyone's here, and we'll see everybody next week, same bat time, same bat channel, 7:30 Eastern time for Pro Wrestling Interviews. Don't miss it. Everybody say goodbye.
Be safe.
See you later.
Goodbye.
Everybody say goodbye. That's right.